Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 30th of June, the day before Canada Day and 6 days after the Fête de Saint-Jean-Baptiste here in Quebec. I hope you are blessed in these festive days. My name is Nigel Parker and I'm the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We and our supporters are pleased to bring you this Word of Grace broadcast on CJMQ throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. Psalm 14 carries the words, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad."
Praise the Lord, for he is kind, for his
Let us pray. Praise God for the Lord who loves. Praise God for the Lord who cares. In the midst of my weakness, when I am lost, unable to find even myself, there is one who seeks, one who finds me, the lost, and rejoices in the correction of our folly, rejoices with the angels, rejoices with song, rejoices for us and with us, often before we are aware we were lost. In Jesus the Christ, you have come to seek out and save the lost. When those stunted by sin were drawn to him, he offered your gracious welcome and inspired repentance. Through your power, he's fulfilling every good resolve and work of faith. When he was killed in a perversion of justice, you raised him from the dead, and now you're glorifying him in us and us in him, and through your grace you are establishing your eternal justice in the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, sometimes we cannot see you. We search for you and have to strain to hear your voice, and yet you come to us where we are, in our sinful lives. You forgive us and change our hearts through the grace of your Son, Jesus, and his liberating love. Forgive us again as we thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Ruth tells the story of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and two sons who fled from a famine in the town of Bethlehem. All the menfolk died, and Naomi planned to return to her native town and urges her daughters-in-law to go back to their families in Moab. Orpah does so, but Ruth refuses to leave Naomi, declaring, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge." She is a symbol of abiding loyalty and devotion, the kind of love God has for his people. So Ruth accompanies Naomi to Bethlehem, and she begins supporting the family by gleaning in the fields of a man called Boaz, a distant relative of her late father-in-law. Boaz, in the way that he treats Ruth, an outsider, an immigrant, someone different from the chosen people of God, represents and pictures the generous love of God. And so here we are in chapter 3 of the book of Ruth. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Amen. Charles Swindle tells the humorous tale of a woman who wanted to marry four men. First, she wanted to marry a banker. Then she hoped to marry an actor. Next, she desired to marry a preacher. And finally, she wanted to marry a funeral director. When asked why in that order, she responded, "One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go." As we begin reading in the third chapter of Ruth, we are moving into the full blossoming of a love story. You can see it in the actions of Ruth and Boaz and hear it in their words. And while we may not be able to fully define love, we sure recognize it when we see it. That part of us that desires to be loved seems to come alive when we witness love in its innocence and purity. Only the hardened and bitter among us can remain untouched by genuine love. So this is not the story of romantic love. Well, it is, because Ruth and Boaz end up getting married. But it's in the Bible, not only because it's a story of romantic love, but because it's a story of the love of God. In the book of Ruth, in and through a multitude of human relationships, the love of God makes itself known. The love that dwells within a family, within a tribe, within a faith community, and yes, in a marriage, all point us to the love of God. The love of God enriches and enables human relationships. Human relationships become the illustrations and means by which the love of God is known in our own experience. Now, when we read this Ruth chapter 3, we probably do not really know what Naomi is telling Ruth to do. It sounds like the most unusual of plans. First, Naomi tells Ruth to wash and anoint herself, to dress herself up, to make herself look good. Secondly, Ruth is to reveal herself to Boaz at night, at the threshing floor, and not in the day in front of everyone else who's there. The reason seems to be that she doesn't want to put Boaz in an uncomfortable position, putting him on the spot in public when Ruth announces herself. And thirdly, Ruth is to uncover Boaz's feet and lie down. By removing Boaz's cloak from his feet, the cold night air would eventually wake him up. But there's much more, because Ruth is to lay down next to his feet, and so a symbolic opportunity is being requested. Ruth has gone to seek and declare her love to Boaz, the land worker seeking the love of a landowner, the immigrant seeking the love of the native. She's come to seek the love that is lost. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And in one sentence, Jesus summarized his mission. He's boiled down the mission of his life to its bare essence. The whole of his life, his entire life's work, everything he has said and done, every miracle he has performed, every demon he's cast out, every sickness and disease that Jesus has healed, every truth that he taught, proclaimed, preached, all comes down to this. Jesus came to earth on a search and rescue mission. He came to seek lost sinners. His whole life, and yes, his death as well. When Ruth came to the threshing floor, she came to make known the covenant love of God. But in Boaz's response, we also see a disclosure of love. He will wake up to cover his feet again, and Ruth will be laying there by his feet. He will have the choice to simply cover his own feet and send the woman away, or he can cover both his feet and her as well, symbolizing that he does love her and will enter into a marriage covenant with her to care for her and provide for her. And we see God use this symbol in regards to his love for his people Israel. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, the Lord says, "When I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord your God, and you became mine." Boaz, in his turn, is a picture of the love of God that enfolds and surrounds and covers and embraces the lost, the last, and the least. What Ruth does for Boaz, what Boaz does for Ruth, shows what God does for each who seek to know him through Jesus. He seeks and he saves the lost. What can we take away from this? Firstly, is that God leads the upright. Our two main characters in this account have been described as worthy people in terms of their character. Ruth is a worthy woman, chapter 3, verse 11. Boaz is a worthy man. We need to be upright in our words. We need to show integrity in our manner of life, not least in our sexual behavior. We must desire to be instruments of God's grace and mercy to the world. This means we'll look to be reflecting the holiness and honor of God to the people around us. Secondly, believing in the providence of God does not lead us to fatalism or passivity, but rather we're actively looking for God's blessings in our lives. Having faith in God to operate in our lives does not mean to say we sit back and do nothing. God tells us to walk in wisdom, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. The Proverbs tell us to apply the fear of God to our decisions so that we will make righteous, godly decisions. We look for God to bless, but this does not mean to say we're to be inactive, but to act in faith. And finally, and closely tied to that last point, we must ask ourselves, what's the basis for our life decisions? Do we walk by faith or do we walk by sight? This chapter does not end with great clarity about what God is doing. Ruth does not know if Boaz can become her husband, the family redeemer, which we'll think a bit more about next week. Naomi does not know if she's going to be provided for either. Putting our faith in God does not mean we can see what the outcome will be. Sometimes we think we should receive immediate answers to our life because we are trusting in God. But faith in God does not mean we know what the outcome will be. But rather, faith in God gives us hope and confidence during our dark days. Serve the Lord, walk by faith, and look for the blessings of God. Amen.
Faileth
Let us again turn to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, infinite and eternal in wisdom, power and love, we praise you for all that you are and for all that you do for the world. You have shown us your truth and your love in our Saviour Jesus Christ. You seek us out when we go astray. You look for us when we are lost. You call to us and rejoice when we are found. We thank you for the abundant life you have made for us, the life you give us even before we know to lift our hands to you. You are our rock and our redeemer, O God, the higher power that restores us to our sanity, the path which is light to our feet, the well from which we can draw that which satisfies. We know, Lord, the wonder of having been blind and then being able to see, of being lost and then being found. Today we bring to you those parts of ourselves that may yet seem to remain in darkness. We pray too for those things about us that may seem to be lost, and for those who've not been able to find their way. Today, Lord, as we contemplate your mercy and grace, the richness of the love that seeks and saves the lost, that enfolds and surrounds and covers us, we hold before you our churches and their abilities to reach out to others. For our Sunday school and youth organisations, our summer camps and vacation Bible schools, our leadership and our people, and every initiative at this season of the year to show forth your light and love. Today, Lord, as we think of your love and your purposes for us, we hold before you our government and the governments of all nations. At this time of festivity in province and amongst nation, we recall the need for justice, an equal sharing of the things that this earth affords, for a human touch and a divine way of walking. And today, Lord, we recall those individuals and those events that our brothers and sisters would ask us to remember before you. For those who are lost and needing to be found, those who are blind and cannot see. Your name, O God, be blessed, now and for evermore. We praise you, we thank you, we adore you, through Christ Jesus, who showed us the way of your Spirit and taught us to pray to you as your children, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Is the victory alone.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.